quack, 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 quack,
and welcome to D5 the Mighty Ducks, the podcast where we discuss the 1996 Disney hockey sequel, D3 the Mighty Ducks, 5 minutes at a time. I'm your host, Blake, and I have this week another all-star guest returning for the third movie, David K. Cannon. David, welcome to the show.
It's great to be here, Blake. Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to talking about these 5 minutes. I think they're pretty pivotal.
Yeah, you get a good prime. You get a good prime 5 minutes here. You really did. You, and then the last episode we had Robert and Father David on the last show. So you guys got some prime
in. Yeah. Like, yeah, that's pretty good stuff.
The serious stuff. So let's get into this. Before we get into this, third movie. Before, as I've been joking around, did you watch this movie before this? Or have you seen this movie before this? Like,
yes. No, I actually remember I went and saw this in the theater. I went and saw it at a Dollar Theater. When it came out, like once it had kind of gotten to the second run, and I like, you know, I'm old enough that I remember when dollar theaters were actually a dollar.
Hey, I know, I remember those days.
So yeah, I actually the town that I grew up in, we had a couple of dollar theaters, and this was in one of them, and I do remember going to see it. So yeah.
Well, very nice. Yeah. So what do you think of this movie?
So the movie overall, I think there are things that are good about it. I also think there are things that are rushed about it in the storytelling. So like I said, I think these 5 minutes are really pivotal and really, and like you said, prime. However, I do think some of the stuff kind of comes out of nowhere. And I think we'll talk about that as we go through. But like there is this sort of switch that happens in these 5 minutes between Charlie and Coach Orion. That I don't know if it's all the way earned.
Okay.
I
can see what you mean by that. I can totally see what you mean.
I mean, it's in general a fun movie. It's enjoyable to watch. I do think it's weird that the quote unquote big game in this isn't really for anything. Like, there's no championship at stake. There's no, I mean, it's not even part of like what you would think of as their regular season. It's almost like an exhibition game. Now, because of what's going on, it's an important exhibition game, but an exhibition game nonetheless.
Yeah, it's weird because until the end, the last third of the movie, it's not really that important. It really isn't that important to the last third.
But yeah.
It's like, it maybe to the school, it's important. I can totally see that. This school, this JV varsity showdown is on the calendar. Like, the alumni look forward to this every single year. Like, I can see that.
Right. And I don't think they do a great job of necessarily explaining that or exploring that.
Fair.
It kind of gets touched here and there. It ends up becoming obviously more about the sort of interplay between the Ducks and the varsity hockey team. Mm-hmm. So
that is for a later minute. For here, where we last left you, Gordon has recapped the first movie, and now we continue on with Gordon telling Charlie that he's the heart of the team, which ironically was said earlier on this show without realizing that this is coming up later. That was actually said about Charlie earlier on this show a couple episodes ago, so that's pretty funny. Thank you, Travis Bowe, for that one. And But I will say, before I even continue, I've been making Dawson's Creek jokes this entire run. Okay. I'm looking at this. I have a pause on my screen. I have a note. I have to say this. Everybody, for years, the meme is the Dawson's cry face from the end of season 3. That is the meme from Dawson's Creek. But I'm looking at the screen, and I see Charlie during the debut of the underappreciated Pacey cry face.
Oh, man. Oh, man. The Pacey cry face, where it's like a blank stare, but he really does a good job of getting the eyes super watery.
Yes, it's the eyes. That's what every time I'm at.
It's a really, like, it's really, it actually works really well.
Yeah, Josh Jackson pulls this off so well.
Yeah.
So well done.
Yeah, and he would make his bone, he would make his bones doing that.
Yeah, it's exactly. That's the first thing I thought of when I was watching it. I'm like, that is the Pacey cry face that no one ever brings up. No one ever brings that up. So he, I do want to say, Gordon is totally pulling at the heartstrings. Mm-hmm. Know exactly what it means, Charlie.
Oh yeah,
especially calling him the real Minnesota Miracle Man. When last movie they called Gordon the Miracle Man. It was a terrible name, by the way.
Well, and especially given where Charlie was at a few minutes ago, in terms of movie time, you know, when he wanted Gordon to just go away, and you know. Gordon ended up, like, you know, picking up his mattress and rolling him out of bed. You know, for that switch to happen, and I do think that is earned. I think between the stuff that you've already talked about with Coach Orion and his daughter, and then this speech that Gordon is, this little heart-to-heart talk that he and Gordon are having, I do think it is. I do think that's earned.
It's a great
and,
speech. And it's a great
yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
It shows that we really miss Emilio Estevez in this movie.
Oh, yeah. So let me ask you a question. As I was watching the full movie, I was wondering, was there a reason that his part was reduced? Was he busy with something else? Do you know?
I looked it up back at the beginning of the movie. I looked it up. I may have to go back to my notes. I do have all my notes here. I'm looking up real fast, but I know I looked it up. And as far as I know, he was just doing some producing. He wasn't even really acting much at the time. So I'm not even 100% sure what was going on here. And I also know that all of his parts, everything you see here is literally him in the middle of, like, a 1 week. He did all this in a week.
Okay.
Like, wow. Everything is from the movie. So I'm not really sure what was going on, except that he just didn't want to do this movie. I don't feel like he
I mean, yeah, that's, I mean, that's kind of, you either get the feeling that he didn't want to do it or the producers didn't want him to do it. But he's
the first name you see on the credits. So it makes no sense. Like, what's the point here? Like, why would you have him be the first name you see, but then, like, he's not really in the movie?
Yeah, I mean, he's got these few minutes, and that's pretty much it.
He was in the funeral, and
right
here, and then he's going to be in later in the when he becomes lawyer
right.
for the last time, and then he pops up for like a half a second at the end. That's about it, you know. So
it's pretty crazy,
Mom. I am looking at this. He was actually a producer of a movie that came out in November 1996 called The War at Home.
Okay.
That's the only other thing he with Kathy Bates and Martin Sheen.
Okay.
But that's the only thing that was going on at the time, because he had no acting credits after this movie until 1999.
That's crazy.
So, like, he did nothing. He did an uncredited role in Mission Impossible. And he was executive producer of the Jerky Boys movie. And then he produced War at Home. And that's it. That's the only credit he has between D2 and D3. And then his next credit isn't until 1999.
Oh, the Jerky Boys movie.
I got to chuckle out of it the first time I said it, too. Chuckle out of it. So that's the only thing. There is no real reason why he's not in the movie much.
That's weird.
Yeah, so I just double checked that. I didn't do that right there. I just went to his Wikipedia page to double check that. But, like, that was just like, yeah, I don't understand it either.
Weird.
So they have their talk. They have their emotional hug that I feel like in the full movie waiting. Charlie's been wanting this hug all movie.
Oh, yeah.
He's been needing this hug from his father figure since, like, he left them when he talked to him at the beginning of the movie.
From the very beginning of the movie, when he tells him that he's not coming, that he's not coaching them anymore.
Yeah. Well, I do want to know, I noticed if you listen to the last episode I noted here, the fact that they wrote in that Gordon goes to this school is a weird, like, story to add in. That he's an alumni of the school. He played at this team. And it's like, none of this is ever brought up, man. We didn't talk about it earlier. That should have been brought up at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, you would think. Well, does he mention... I was thinking he mentioned it, like, offhand.
Never brought up at the beginning of the movie. And like, I don't understand why it gets brought up here. Like, I understand why. I get it. But, like, shouldn't that have been something... Like, the duck should have noticed it earlier. They should have noticed that.
Yeah, like, you would think there would be stuff. Or, like, the... Like, you would think somebody on the board who might have been sympathetic, maybe even Dean Buckley,
would have mentioned,
you know, we expect big things from you since you come from the lineage of Coach Bombay,
exactly,
who was one of our great products.
That's all you had to say. One line,
right,
and then this makes even more sense. One little throwaway line that didn't happen earlier.
Yeah.
Like, you don't even have to, like, do, like, the tour of the school and, like, zoom in on the picture dramatically like you did in the first movie.
Right.
Like, he was a hawk? Oh, my God. You don't have to do that. Only a line like that would have worked.
And that is the other thing. It is a little bit of a retread of that kind of storyline from the first movie. So that's a little odd. And although it's not meta, I mean, you know, it doesn't have as much of a reaction from Charlie as the Hawks thing did, obviously.
No, it did not. No.
Yeah.
But so then we cut to the same thing we did in the second movie. Pretty much the exact same thing we did in the second movie.
Yep.
Except the second movie made story sense. Like, that actually made more story sense than this did.
Sure. Russ and his boys kind of challenging the Ducks to a roller hockey game made more sense than Charlie and Gordon just kind of happening to show up where they are. Like, was this preordained? Did they know this was happening? I mean, I know Russ says it's about time, but it does seem weird, and it seems a little out of nowhere, out of left field.
The only thing I will go headcanon is maybe they do this every day.
Maybe
they do this every day just to get off the ice, but they love hanging out together.
Right.
Like, I can totally see that. You know what I mean? Like, just like to get some stretch up and not be under the stress of the coach.
Right. I mean, it's kind of like the rollerblading scene at the beginning of the movie.
Right. Exactly. By the way, I paused on the screen of Russ. I want this jersey. I want this purple Ducks jersey.
It is great. I remember when the Mighty Ducks were founded, the Anaheim Mighty Ducks were founded. It wasn't that one, but I had like their away jersey.
Ooh.
So
the closest I have for the original Ducks is I have a puck on my desk.
Okay, nice.
That my grandfather got me because he knew I loved the movies.
Right.
He didn't realize, like, he thought the Ducks logo was from the movie. He didn't realize it was from the NHL team.
Right, and then transplanted into the movies.
Which is fine. He thought it was the other way around. He didn't realize the movies came first. But he just knew I loved the Ducks, so he got me the puck. So that's sitting on my desk.
That's cool.
So I'm not at my desk, or I'd show it to you right now. It's at my desk in the other room.
Right.
So.
Also, I want to point out, since you brought up Russ, I want to point out how fascinating I find it that in 2021, Kenan Thompson is probably the most famous person in this movie.
Oh, by far.
like not even. I mean, like it's not really close. I mean, like I know all of my kids know who Kenan Thompson is.
Yeah.
If I mentioned anybody else in this movie to, especially my 14-year-old, I don't think he would know anybody else.
Except maybe a little off the fence because of Game Changers.
Okay, maybe.
That's about it. Thinking about when this episode is going to be coming out, like people hearing this, Game Changers will be on Disney Plus by then.
So okay, that's true.
Thing. But Kenan Thompson is the biggest star.
Yeah. Franchise. Yeah, like, it's pretty crazy.
It's not even close. And to believe that this is his second movie. This is his third movie out of IMDb, which is unbelievable when you think about that.
Yeah, I mean, like, his career is insane.
I'm looking at it now because he was his first credit is D2,
right?
And then after D2, he started in All That. He did this movie while doing All That,
right?
All That was on for 94-99,
right? And then he's like on SNL like 2 years later.
Yeah, and SNL, I'm going to have the sheet up here right here. I'm actually looking at here. He actually did 4 episodes on the Steve Harvey Show. Then there was Keaton and Cal, which was on for 4 years, which is actually one of my wife's favorite shows.
Yeah, it's great.
And then he has been on SNL since 2003.
Okay.
Which is a long,
yeah. Longest serving cast member of all time.
Yeah.
As we speak. It's ridiculous. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And he has it out now, and I don't even know if the show will be still on come the summertime when people hear this, but
sure.
The Keaton Show was on NBC following Young Rock, which I haven't watched. I'm watching it. I haven't watched the episode yet. As of recording this episode, I have not watched Keaton yet. But
I'm probably gonna watch it as soon as we're done.
Yeah, it's on my list of things to watch this weekend. It's on my list of things to watch. But as of recording this episode, I still haven't watched Keaton or Young Rock. But I do plan on it. but if you told me that Dwayne Johnson and Keaton Thompson would have back-to-back comedies on NBC, I would never believe you. No. That would have been a sentence, I would say.
Especially in 1996.
Yeah, there's no way I would have been The Rock and Keaton Thompson.
You mean Rocky Maivia?
Rocky Maivia and Russ from the Mighty Ducks.
And Russ from the Mighty Ducks?
So weird.
They're going to be two of the most famous people in the world? That's weird.
The Rock would be the number one actor on the planet.
Right. What is happening in 2021? You don't want to know.
You don't want to know. Trust me, you don't want to know.
It's bad. It's bad. Let's just.
There's a reason why we're recording these shows over Zoom. There's a reason for that.
Exactly.
Zoom is a thing now, and it wasn't a thing in the 90s.
That is true.
I will say, and I've said this as a joke, and I've said this a lot. If the pandemic was going to happen at any other time, it was in the perfect technological phase for all of us.
That's true. That is true.
Got it. But so we get to our game. They're playing. And it is nice to see, by the way, Emilio on skates. And it has to be him.
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
We do have our second actual song in this movie.
Right.
And it took me a while to figure out what this was. Because I couldn't find it.
Okay.
But this is Space Hog, Never Coming Down, Part 2.
Sure.
Part 1, Part 2. And it's on the Space Hog's first album, Resident Alien, which came out October 24, 1995, which is about a year before this movie.
So right.
The timeline, it makes sense. And how this song has never been used as a hockey goal song, I will never know.
No, but it would make perfect sense as one.
100%.
It's got a really chill vibe. It's funny when you think of glam rock, number one, you don't think of the 90s.
No.
I am familiar with Space Hog a little bit. But you also, when you think of glam rock, you don't think of this particular sound.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting. I like it a lot.
Yeah, like it's a good song. Like it works well. And I even looked it up because I went to look on YouTube to find the song. I was just trying to figure out, make sure I had the right version for we're talking about. And I'm like, in the comments, it was so funny. If I didn't know where I was going, in the comments, the first comment said, Gordon Bombay sent me here. That made me laugh. Another song. Nice. Perfect.
There you go. Yep.
But I'm like, and then in the comment section, they're like, this song should be a goal song. This should be, I'm like, somebody had to make it into a goal song.
You would think. It's
and I looked it up. I Googled NHL goal song, and this song has never been used.
That's crazy.
Like, I don't get it. I don't understand it. So it's a perfect song for that. And, yeah. I mean, if Gaslight Anthem can do a song for the Devils, this song should be a goal song.
Like, sure. Absolutely. Like,
if Tim McGraw can be a goal song, this should be a goal song. Chris is going out there, you know? Like, I mean, I don't even know what the Anaheim Duck goal song is. But, like...
I don't know.
I looked it up real fast because I actually don't know what it is. I'm just naming goal songs that I know. Because I'm a Devils and a Predators fan. So I'm actually talking goal songs that I actually know. But I don't understand the trash can bit, by the way. I don't
either, other than it's a ham-fisted way to foreshadow what's going to happen later.
Maybe. Or they're just messing with Charlie and Gordon.
I mean, that's kind of it. I mean, it's weird.
Oh, by the way, just for the record, the goal song for the actual Ducks right now is Bro Him by Pennywise.
Okay, interesting.
There you go.
A little 90s punk.
Sure, there you go. That is the current Ducks goal song.
Okay. I'm being a St. Louis Blues fan, I'm partial to Gloria. But
Hey, you know what? I rooted for the Blues that year.
There you go.
And by the way, I'll throw this out there. I went to St. Louis.
Nice.
Family vacation. We went to St. Louis, and it was right after the Cup.
Oh,
so I stopped at the arena.
Okay.
I took pictures outside the entire arena, and I went in. I do have a Stanley Cup championship puck in my collection.
Nice.
From that, from I hung up next. I have next to my Predators and my Admiral stuff.
Nice.
In my room, because I was like, I have to do this. I'm here, and I really got into that season. And yeah. It helps to have a goal song and have a song like Gloria that got everyone mm-hmm. into it.
Yep.
You know, like it was such a great run. It was an amazing run.
It was what I had been dreaming of since I was a kid. Mm-hmm. My first Blues game was, it's funny enough, since I now live in Denver, my first Blues game was against the Quebec Nordiques.
Ooh,
who would become the Colorado Avalanche.
I remember Quebec Nordiques.
Yeah, so that was the first game, and that was like in the Hall & Oates era.
Wow.
When I was a kid. And so I went to a few games here and there when I was in high school. I've been to a few games. Used to be that my wife would try and get me tickets whenever the Blues came to town to face the Avalanche.
Yeah, it works.
So,
right now, yeah. Obviously. But
no.
But no, I'm a Devils fan, and I have not been to a game in years. Like,
you mean the Colorado Rockies?
Yeah, the Colorado Rockies. Yeah, the Colorado or the Celtics. We need to go further back.
Right, sure.
But the last NHL game I went to was actually Predators Blackhawks at the Madhouse.
Okay.
Chicago. That was the first game I ever went to at the Madhouse.
Nice.
That was an experience. My best friend, my friend got tickets, and he's like, "You want to go? This is last season. This is actually last year during the recording of this show." And I had to reschedule recordings so I could go to the game. And I'll throw this out there for historical purposes. That was the night Pekka scored.
Nice.
I was there for that.
Nice.
And I got that is the second time I've been in the building when a goalie scored a goal. Because I was in the building when Marty scored his first goal.
Wow.
In 1997, the playoffs, I was there.
Good timing, Blake.
Amazing. That was an amazing run. That was the season my dad got us partial season tickets.
Right.
And we had playoff tickets. And we got to see all the playoff games. That was the year they lost to the Rangers in the second round.
Right. But
I was in the Montreal series in game one. And the two things I remember from that game was, for some reason, somebody threw a pig head on the ice after a goal. Which I don't understand that to this day. And Marty's goal. Because that is the hug a stranger moment. The first time I ever experienced a hug a stranger moment in my life. Because everyone was hugging. Everyone was celebrating.
Yeah,
I couldn't hear the goal song. It was so loud in that building. It was amazing.
That's crazy.
TV does not do that moment justice. It really does not do it justice.
I'm sure it doesn't. How could you? How could it? I mean.
Yeah. And the cool part was the announcement of goal by Martin Brodeur. And they repeated it three times.
That's right. Martin Brodeur scored a goal.
This is going crazy. It was such an amazing moment to be in the building for. But
sure.
All right. So they're in the trash cans, which is weird. And okay, I love the fact that they put a trash can on top of Goldberg for no reason whatsoever.
No reason. Just always put a trash can on top of Goldberg.
For no reason. Just because they want to be goofy. That doesn't make no sense. So we cut to the bus. And this is back to the moment where you're talking, maybe not earned properly. Is I love, by the way, his reaction to Charlie getting on the bus. Like, wait, what?
What are you doing? What are you doing here?
Quit. I thought you quit.
Like, come on. Like, you can't, you don't know what he's doing there. I mean,
well, he wants to hear it. He wants to hear it from
me. I know.
As an adult, I respect that move. Because, like,
sure.
I want my kid to tell me. What the problem is. I don't want to know. I will not. I already know. I already know what the issue is. I want him to tell me what the issue is.
That's true. That's fair.
So, and you know what's terrifying? My son is almost the age of Charlie in this movie.
So is my youngest.
It's terrifying. Isn't it terrifying when you think
about it? It absolutely is.
Yeah, I just thought about that as I'm sitting here. I'm like, oh my God, that's terrifying. It's only 2 years separating Charlie in this movie and my son. So, I do love this because Charlie has to swallow his pride. And he's got to tell him what he wants to hear.
Right.
And I do like this moment. I like this is actually a good moment for Charlie.
It is a good moment. The sort of seriousness that he has on his face and the declaration that he wants to play two-way hockey. It is a good moment. It's a fantastic moment.
But
I just think they skip a few steps.
But wouldn't this be kind of the first time he gets to see him? Honestly, wouldn't this be the first
that's
time
true.
Coach? Like,
yeah, I mean, that's true. Because what do we have? So he and Fulton left practice. They had their Mall of America day.
And they had a game. And they also had a game
right
before that. They had a game before the Mall of America thing.
right,
Animal America, and then they had the funeral,
right,
like over a 3-day span. They really only missed like one game and like 2 days of school, and one of those was probably bereavement. At the end of the day, really, you're gonna take a day off for a mental.
That's fair.
I almost guarantee you the Collins let the Ducks take a day off.
Probably
after the funeral, I can totally believe that. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
So, which, by the way, will now explain why the Ducks are playing roller hockey. Because that was their
bereavement leave.
Yeah, they got to have a day off, so they're like, "Let's just be together."
Sure.
As a family, that actually
that makes sense. That does make sense.
Yeah. So this is literally the next day. This will be the next day. This is the first time we see him. So I guess it works.
Yeah, maybe. I guess.
The whole thing's taking over like a week.
It does happen. It all happens really fast.
Like, wow, I didn't. That's what I'm sitting here explaining. I'm like, this movie goes over like a week.
Which goes really fast.
Which makes the next moment so weird. Because, like, we're going over maybe two weeks tops. So, like.
That's the way it seems. And yeah, I mean, when the dean gets on the bus, you're like, wait, what? What is happening?
Before we get to that, though, I want to know if this was improv by Keenan Thompson or not. When he's making fun of Charlie. When Russ is making fun of Charlie.
It seems like it. And like the way that they're kind of slap fighting is hilarious.
Yeah, I love that.
It's great.
Staying behind him trying not to laugh.
Right.
Not to laugh. Because it was so funny. Because that had to be improv. There's no way it's in a script.
I think you're right.
Yeah, it has to be. Because knowing how funny Keenan is, he's probably like, can I do this joke? And if it doesn't work, we can get rid of it.
Yeah, that may be one of those things where the director was like, you know what, we've got an extra take, Keenan, do whatever you want to do.
Yeah, and it worked, and it was funny, so they kept it. that's the joke we have, and then we're going to get serious now for a minute. And all right, the dean, he gets on, and like we said, this is maybe 2 weeks, and this is like a side plot going on in the background of this movie that should have been brought up more, because it's brought up, and I was counting throughout this run, this is only the third time that this gets brought up in this entire movie. It gets brought up at the beginning, and then it gets brought up to the coach after the first game. And then we do not hear about it again until now. Like, what is that? Why are they, what's going on here? Like, why do they have a problem with this team?
So it's one thing for, the thing that really confused me is the Dean's character seems to be sort of on the Duck side, but he's also really smug all the time.
Yes.
And like, I don't quite know where he's coming from.
I do agree with you that, because he even says it hurts him to say this information. So
I'm
on their side.
But he doesn't seem like he's being sincere.
He never seemed like he's being
sincere. No, about anything. Because, and I apologize for jumping ahead a little bit. There is some stuff during the big game where he's talking to the one board member who's like the varsity captain's father or whatever.
Whatever, yeah.
And like he's like on the Duck side, and it's super weird. It doesn't make any sense.
Well,
his character just keeps like really wishy-washy.
Maybe in his mind, it's like, on my watch, we got this great team here.
Right.
We brought this great team here on my watch. And it would be an embarrassment to me, as the principal of this school, that this great team that we brought in and spent all this money on gets kicked out of the school.
Right.
On my watch.
Sure.
Maybe that's what it is.
Maybe.
That's why I'm rooting for them.
Maybe.
I mean, it makes sense. I mean, seems like that kind of an attitude where he's worrying about himself.
Yes. That definitely seems to be the overriding objective, is how do I save my own job?
Yeah, and he doesn't want this on his legacy.
Right.
As the principal of this school. Because that's exactly what this would be.
He's
going to work on his legacy.
That's true. Mm-hmm. I hadn't thought about it that way.
Yeah, so.
That's good.
Yeah, so there you go. A little bit of headcanon for it. You can tell I watch the movies way too closely. But so, speeding up the process, because the board meeting is tomorrow.
Tomorrow, mind you, yes.
What would I think that would be brought up sooner? Like, what would I think that would have been brought up to everybody? Like, you know, when I was in high school, they're doing a board meeting. Unless it's like an emergency,
Right.
Major emergency. We know about it at least a week in advance. At least a week in advance.
Right. And it, and the way he says it, that they're on the agenda, it doesn't seem like an emergency board meeting.
No.
It just seems like, hey, we're having this board meeting and we've decided that we've already decided before we have.
Oh, you're back. You're back.
Okay, good.
You're back now. Sorry about that.
You're that's all right. I don't know what happened. I don't know. I got a message that my internet connection was unstable, and I don't know why. I don't.
We're
know.
Back now. We're good. And that's why I messaged you. Like, you're frozen, and then you came back on. So back to you. Sorry about that.
No, that's all right.
I'll edit.
So yeah, it's interesting. Like, why are we even bothering? Like, the board meeting almost seems to be a formality at that point.
Well, they have to do it. They have.
I mean, yeah.
They got to do the voting, which I understand right. That part of it.
Sure.
And I, just, I understand him telling the kids because they got to tell. But wouldn't they also have to tell their parents? Like, there's a lot of details here that out.
Yes, there is a lot of like. There's not a lot of parental discussion in this movie. You know, I mean, really the only parent we see is Charlie's mom.
Yes.
And it's kind of weird that nothing ever really happens. Nothing ever really gets communicated with the parents in the, like, as far as we see.
And like, I understand, like, there are people on this team that are not from this state, like
right.
Ross and Dwayne and
sure.
And Raul and Julie
he and
Kenny. And they're not from this state, but most of them are from Minnesota.
Right.
So, like, wouldn't it be very simple? Even if you just want to have extras later on, I'm noticing it. Maybe there's more people in the room, and I'll notice it later when I get to that scene in the movie.
Right.
Like, maybe they're there. Maybe I just never noticed
it.
I mean, I doubt it.
Blake, I don't want to spoil it for you, but there are a ton of people in that scene.
Yeah,
I don't know what they're all doing there.
Now look at it later. I haven't rewatched this. They put together like the breakdown. In the lens that we're putting together these minutes, I had not done it yet. So when I get there, I will see what's going on in the scene.
Yes, it's. I'm like when I was watching, I was like, why are all those people there?
Like, if it's just their parents, like we're Charlie's mom, I stand next to Charlie, and it's just like them with the kids. Then the Minnesota kids have their parents with them, and that then I understand sure. it. But like,
there are extraneous people. There are extraneous people there that I'm like, why?
Yeah, I'll figure that out later when we get there. Yeah, like, I look closer when I got there.
Absolutely.
But so the cool part here is that Coach Ryan knows what's going on because he was brought up to speed earlier. We were brought up to speed earlier, and he can see the disgust in his face even before he finishes his thought. And I like that acting choice, like. I know what you're going to say. I'm already annoyed. So he explains that that on the agenda is the withdrawal of their scholarships, which I had to look at Russ immediately because Russ's running gag in this entire movie is that he's on scholarship. That is in a running gag. And he's the one person that had his head down like,
Yep.
Come on.
Well, I mean, It's funny. It's, you know, it's one of those things where there's a very subtle thing happening there with Russ that I think is interesting. If you go back earlier in the movie, when they're talking, what are they talking about? I forget what they're talking about. They're talking about a TV show.
Oh yeah, beginning of the movie. Very beginning of the movie, they're discussing TV show.
Right. What are you talking about? And Dwayne says, y'all watch too much TV. And Russ's response is, shoot, in my neighborhood, that's the safest thing. You know, it's the safest thing you can do.
Yeah.
So there is an interesting thing where if Russ loses this scholarship, he's probably going to have to go back home. He's going to have to be back in that neighborhood. You know, I don't remember. Is it said in D2 where he's from? Is he from?
LA.
Is he from?
He's from
right. But from is he the, from Compton? From is he specifically? Okay.
He's from the hood in LA. That was actually explained in D2. Because him and it's actually where they had that game, and it was in the hood of LA. Because I remember last season I had Robert Black on, And we were trying to figure out why there is no security with them in the hood to play this team in the hood of LA. Like, doesn't make any sense.
so he's got to go back to this area that is, you know, in 1996, it's probably, you know, a fairly high crime rate.
Yeah, I can believe that.
Unfortunately, probably poverty stricken. And so I, you know, that's an, it's an interesting little undercurrent.
Yeah. It's amazing.
That the kind of
going on with him.
Yeah. And
I make fun of it. I make fun of Russ literally saying, well, we're on scholarship every single time. But you're right. It is an important story because him, this got him out of his hometown.
Yeah. It's sort of, it's his way of being elevated. You know, it's, you know, the old Biggie statement. You either sling crack rock or you got a wicked jump shot. This is, you know, this was his jump shot.
Perfect.
Was playing perfect hockey.
Perfect way.
You know, it's interesting.
Yeah. I did write my notes that I really appreciated. Dwayne's use in this movie has been fantastic compared to the second movie. Like, he has had some great moments, not just for humor. Like, he's been great as a character in this movie. Like, they realized that they could actually use him to be smart, but not too smart. Because then you have a moment like this, where he doesn't understand what's going on. Sure. So Russ then has to explain it to him, but also to the kids watching the movie.
Right.
Which I appreciate that now. I don't think I noticed it when I was younger, but like, I appreciate that here, where Russ has to explain it to Dwayne, but also you're explaining it to the children.
Right.
Perfect.
I also think it's an interesting way of writing the scene where the dean sort of deliberately uses this kind of lofty, obfuscatory language, almost in an effort to kind of pass it by the players, to where they kind of have to say, "Wait a minute, what does that mean?"
But there are certain kids that are smart, and that's the important part. This team is smarter than I think DeBoer gives them credit for.
Sure, that's absolutely true.
So, by the way, I do love the fact that I just noticed it behind, or stepping outside. Every single time I look out the window, there's people just walking by to class, just randomly walking around in the background. But I'm not sure if it was like a track team or just people walking around randomly. That's what's going on. Because it's been different people every single time. It's never been one consistent person at all. So this is where we have the turn for Coach Orion.
Right.
And he sticks up for the team. This is a great moment. I remember being in the theater and people were cheering for him, realizing, oh my gosh, this is great.
It is great. You know, he shows this loyalty that kind of, like, it kind of comes out of nowhere, although I kind of get it with everything.
But does it? Because I think he's been grooming this team. From the very beginning, he's been making this team his. He's been trying his best.
Yes, that's true. Boy, I don't know. I'm going back and forth in my head.
Yeah, it's a weird one. I understand what you're saying, but like,
I think it does to kind of depend on if you are reading it as it's only been a couple of weeks. Then I do think it is a little fast.
Maybe you're right.
If there's, you know, if it's a condensed timeline, you know, if it's a, they didn't show us all of the practice that they had and that kind of thing. I mean, maybe.
I'm also thinking it's been a couple of weeks. How many games are being played? Because, like, we've only been, like, in canon, we've only had three games, maybe
sure.
Four tops.
Sure.
Like, if we're doing, like, 2.5, 3 weeks, and maybe
and, two weeks. I mean, they're on their way to it. They're on their way to a game that we will never see or find out any information about. It becomes a complete, it's like the lost moments of this movie.
Well, because we have to get to the big stuff.
Sure.
But like, I just thought about, like, they've only played like four games. How are they underperforming?
Right.
Underperforming. Like, I don't understand. Right. Like, on what basis are they underperforming? Like, what are we doing? Like, what basis are we basing? Are we basing this on this miraculous game they played against Iceland last year? Like, what are we
exactly
what's on? I don't get it. I don't get it. But then in time, they're still.
It's weird.
But I do love earlier in the movie. I just noticed this. I don't even have this in my notes. I just noticed this. Earlier in the movie, Charlie in the locker room after the first game said, "Who are we playing for? The alumni?" Someone had to stuck it, and he actually said it here. From who? The alumni group? The same way Charlie said it earlier. Like, I just caught that.
Yeah. I also do love that he refers to them as a bunch of aging pep clubbers.
Great line.
Which is great. It is a great line.
Like, that's amazing. And
yeah.
So to Dean's point here, he said, you can pick your own team, but he says, I have my team.
It's good.
That's a great respect, especially because the kids can hear him.
Yes.
Ducks hear him. And like, that's a great moment. And like, yeah. You earn the respect of your coach in moments like this.
Yep.
This is how team chemistry happens too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's how, you know, in this situation where you've got a team and a coach that aren't haven't been on the same page. This is where they get on the same page.
Yes. And by the way, following up what you said about Russ, I just noticed that Russ, outside of this team, has Russ ever really dealt with loyalty outside of maybe his brother? Like, he isn't used to this kind of loyalty because he has this smile on his face, like, wow, someone's actually sticking up for me.
Yeah, someone's got my back.
Yeah, like,
an adult.
That's not Gordon. Gordon has my back. Which right. A change for him.
Like, yeah, I'm sure that's probably, probably a thing he hasn't dealt with very much.
Yeah, like, going back to what you were saying earlier, like, it makes sense. Back to that little, Russ having his own little story going on.
Yep.
The entire movie. And it culminates here with him realizing, wow, I have somebody here backing me up. So coach here says, I'm going to leave if his team leaves. And Dean's like, I'm not fighting you anymore. Right. Bye. Goodbye.
We'll miss you, Ted.
That's a great, like, that's such an F you. Like,
it is. And again, he's just so smug. Like, smugness oozes out of him, especially on that line.
Oh, man. I do like, I have the close captioning on, and it says, the reason, except it says, why us, the response is because he's a slime. What does that mean?
I did notice that in the background. It's pretty
well, funny. Averman.
Yeah.
Averman, and again, Averman just says random stuff in this entire movie. And I do like the fact that at this point, Russ has figured out how to shut up Averman. All this time. Finally found a way to say it.
Yeah, Russ definitely shuts him down when he's going on about being jesters in the king's court and starts talking about how they're barnacles on a ship. And
yeah, but Russ is reacting like, shut up. Like, he's used to Averman's ranting. He's like, I'll let you go on for like a minute, but we're stopping you now.
We're stopping you.
Oh man, that's so funny to me. So Goldberg is the one that actually brings up is legal. And brings up the contracts, which will come up later.
Yes, it will.
So we end our 5 minutes at the point where he says we're going to fight it. And Charlie's look on his face like, yep, that's exactly what we're going to do. And it's really funny that Charlie's the tallest person on this team, except for Fulton. That's really weird how that works.
Yep.
So, and we literally end our 5 minutes here, and next week we'll be in the actual boardroom meeting later.
That's a great scene too.
Which we'll get to next week.
Right.
I will actually say real fast, let me get my sheet up here and I'll tell everybody who's going to be on next week's show talking about that. Oh, it's Tabitha Carlisle.
There you go.
Next week to talk about these 5 minutes. So
that'll be good.
So before we get to everything else here, let's do our question I'm asking everybody on this season. And it should be interesting because probably one of our older people we've had on the show. This is actually, I think it might be. That's not a bad thing. It's definitely not a bad thing. Not the oldest. I'll say that. My father-in-law's on this season as well.
Sure.
Oh, not the oldest. But craziest, funniest high school story.
I was kind of a good kid in high school. So I was in high school from, you know, in the early to mid 90s, 91 to 95. Probably the biggest thing I could think of, certainly the dumbest thing I ever did, was my senior year. I played Jaques the Melancholy in Shakespeare's As You Like It, which is one of my favorite Shakespeare plays. But we were rehearsing a scene that I wasn't in, and I was super bored. And I thought, hey, what happens if I stick my car keys in an electrical socket?
Oh, shit.
So I did that. A very large spark jumped out of the electrical socket. The lights flickered. And everybody, and like the entire scene stopped, and everybody looked at me. And like one of my friends goes, "You okay over there, Sparky?" And Sparky was a nickname that stuck.
Wow. So, I did not see that coming. I did not expect that. Wow, I did not expect that one.
It was pretty dumb. when bored kids are bored, things happen.
By the way, if it makes you feel any better, I'm only 5 years younger than you.
Okay.
Class of 2000. So there you go. You're not as much older than you think you are. Right. It's only 5 years different between us. So make you feel a little better. So, but no, the funny part was like that's funny to me. I remember I was in drama club. I bring this up a lot. A lot of my stuff is drama club related because a lot of late nights.
Yeah.
Doing drama because I was the person one fall season, I was football, I had football practice. I go get changed in the locker room and then run to the auditorium for drama practice in the same day.
Sure.
For a show that got canceled.
That's a bummer.
I'll see about that later. I'm not bringing that up. That show got canceled. But anyway, my first play I was in, I was like just like a minor role, but I was hanging out there all the time. And I remember they were having lighting issues. Do you remember electric issues? And I remember, I think it was High School Musical 3. When randomly stuff started falling off the set for no real reason whatsoever. That happened in our auditorium. Like the first
time
I practiced my sophomore year, where like a lighting grid almost fell off the set.
Yikes.
Like, what is happening? Like, what is going on here? Like, give me the curse.
The phantom of the auditorium is there.
Oh my God. But ironically, that's like the tamest thing that happened with this room because my senior year, the second show we did my senior year to make up for the show that got canceled was the year we had a whole bunch of crazy fun. Because we're a bunch of seniors and they realized they can let us have some fun. And yeah, that was that. I will continuously say, I'm not quite sure why my high school trusted us. Looking back now as an adult, I do not understand why my high school trusted the class of 2000.
Yeah, sure. Let's say, I get it.
As I've been talking about on this show, we got away with a lot of stuff that after us, my best friend, Sal, from the Lake of Sal show, is 2 years younger than me. Okay. Class 2002, we were in the same high school.
So you ruined it for him.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
He told me that. He said, because I remember we were talking, because we were just like becoming really tight and we were talking about high school stuff. And he's like, yeah, right after that, they stopped doing that. They stopped doing overnight trips and they stopped doing this, that, and the other thing. And they stopped doing all that stuff. They stopped.
Yeah. I remember when I was in high school, I think like 2 years before I got there, they had stopped offering open campus for lunch.
Ooh.
And so like, that was one of those things like where we were all mad. And fortunately, if you were close enough with one of the teachers, you could conceivably still have open campus, which I was. So
that's interesting.
So, you said you had to go get them. You had to go get them food too, was the big thing.
Well, you know what's the funny part about my senior year was it also helped that one of our counselors was like pregnant my sophomore and my senior year.
Wow.
But she was not there for most of our senior year. Sure. Like, she was not there to guide us through stuff.
Right.
The second half of senior year. So all right, let's get the plugs. David.
Sure.
Plug what you got plugged.
So I do not actually have any active podcasts right now.
Wow.
However, I am a member of the soon to be named network, soontobenamednetwork.com, STBN network on Twitter. I work behind the scenes. I write jingles for a bunch of our shows. I have jingles that are regularly heard on Longbox Heroes, which is a comic book podcast, At Odds with Wrestling, Final Wrestling Place, and the Wednesday Night War, which is also part of PW Ponderings. Okay. And then one of our newest podcasts is a podcast called Viewer's Choice, which is a pay-per-view review show that takes the form of I love this concept. My friends Tim and Marcus, they basically take one of them takes the side that the pay-per-view was good, one of them takes the side that the pay-per-view was bad, and they have to make their argument.
Ooh.
So it gets into some really interesting discussion.
I like that.
And that is part of the soon to be named network. That is also on the North South Connection podcast network.
Wow. I like that concept.
It's great. It's great. And I created a, I sort of created a Perry Mason-esque opening intro for them.
In my brain, I'm like, you know, there's a bunch of wrestling shows in like the mid-2000s that were all, like the late-2000s that were terrible. Absolutely terrible.
So their pilot episode. WWE,
or they bring in TNA in there too. Because TNA were awful.
Well, what they're currently doing is they're actually only doing it like they're doing like the current pay-per-view. So like the like immediate, like instant reaction. They did do the 1994 Royal Rumble as their pilot. So that was fun. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. Marcus and Tim are two of my favorite guys. Shout out to them. So yeah. Yeah. It's great.
That sounds fun. I'll have to look that up. Yeah. And you just helped me segue to the Blake and Sal Show, which is my other show.
There you go.
I mentioned Sal, but the Blake and Sal Show we do every single Friday. We have not missed a week since the pandemic started. And I like saying that because not many shows can say that. Sure. I'm very proud of that point. We have not missed a week in about 2 years. So we do not miss weeks. And even when I go on vacation, we still put a show up.
There you go.
I don't like missing weeks.
I know people who are very similar.
Yes, I make sure, like, I plan out when I know, like, I'm going to Disney World. I plan a trip. I plan an episode. Make sure the episode goes up that week. So that's how the Blake and Sal Show. You can hear that at theblakeandsalshow.com every single Friday. Right after you hear this show, at all the same podcast platforms, you hear this show. I'm going to say it again. Pick up the Five Mighty Ducks t-shirt that I am currently wearing, and I love my new t-shirt logo. And it took me 3 seasons to get a shirt. So pick one up, because I didn't want Disney to sue me, and they did not pull the shirt down. So yay, I'm happy for that. They did not pull my shirt down. I was worried about that, but I think because of the Game Changers show, they try to get as much duck stuff out there. So
right,
and there you go. Happy to say that next week, Tevin Carlisle will be here, and thank you, David, for coming on and finishing up the run of this movies.
Not a problem. Like, thank you for having me. It's been fun.
No problem at all. And thank you all for listening. I'll be back next week as we get into the final half hour of this movie, which is insane. I can't believe we're here.
It's a short one.
It's actually the longest one of the series.
Is it really?
Okay. The longest movie of the three movies.
It felt like it moved pretty quick. But...
it's been an hour 40.
Right.
Yeah, with credits, it's been an hour 40. So, all right. And thank you all for listening to the show, and I'll see you next week. Have a good day, everybody.
And when everyone says it can't be done, ducks fly together.